I am Shua Diker. I'm a soil management specialist at Penn State University, and I have been doing work with Kenyan youth, so I'm very pleased to see here some of the Kenyan youth here represented in the office in the room. Actually, one is from Nyeri, where I work a lot, do a lot of work. So we have been working since 2009 on this helping youth to identify business opportunities to make an income. So in Kenya, just to give you a little background, Kenya has some 45 million inhabitants, and many of them are young, 42% younger than 15. Many of them in rural areas still, but they are moving, many of them, to the urban centers to find a better life. Because 43% of the population live below the poverty line, which is, I think it is $2 per day. The challenge is that in the urban areas, there is not a lot of work, actually. High unemployment, according to the CIA, 40%. I don't know how they measure this, but because there's no social security in Kenya, so no work, no food. So you would just die, but they all seem to eke out a living somehow. Their effect has been that there are many children living on the streets, and we have been working with a center for street children in Dunguma, in Nyeri. So let me see if I have a pointer. We started working with the CYC, the Children and Youth Empowerment Center in Nyeri. That is since 2009. We work with a service learning class. We take undergraduate students from Penn State University to Nyeri every year, and they work on helping the center to develop their exit program. This is a program that that's their idea to help the children who are older to develop businesses on their own, considering the huge unemployment challenge they have, especially in rural areas, in eco-villages. It is a bit along the idea of the kibbutz. That's where we started, and we developed a haymaking program that I will talk about as one of the ways to make money for the youth. And then 2 years ago, I got a little grant from the USDA Foreign Agricultural Service to expand this and to work with also youth in some other places. One youth group is in the Equator Young Entrepreneurs in Nanyuki. Another group in Maimahu, which is on the edge of the Rift Valley near Nairobi. And then a polytechnic in Keplong, which is in tea-growing country, if you like, Lipton tea, it's probably from that area. So why hay? Hay is really a result of the demand for hay from that very vibrant dairy sector in Kenya. The dairy sector in Kenya is one of the largest. It's the second largest after South Africa. It is a 100 billion shillings, which is a $1 billion industry. It's larger than the horticulture industry or the tea industry, and it grows at a very rapid rate. And it is interesting, it is not dependent on exports, it is all an internal sales. And most of it, the milk is produced by very small operators, like 2 to 3 cow dairy farms, and this milk is not processed at all, it is sold directly to the consumers. And so the result is most of these dairies are in the urban areas and around the towns, and so to be able to sell the milk in 2 hours after milking to the consumer. But in the urban settings, there is not a lot of land, so often they run into feed shortages, especially in the dry season. So the interesting thing about Kenya, if you work in Kenya, you see there is huge variations in climate in very short distances due to orographic effects, especially here in along the Rift Valley and near Mount Kenya. And so you have areas where there's high rainfall, and then very close by, an hour away, there might be already semi-arid. So So often the towns are in the areas with the higher rainfall, and in those higher rainfall areas, actually, the higher producing forage for the dairies is napier grass, especially. It's elephant grass, same thing, and can produce huge biomass and amounts of feed. So that can be very well produced there, but the parcels are very small. So there is still then often a shortage of forage, and that could be met by hay, and this hay could be produced a little bit further down, like an hour or 2 hours away in the rural areas where it's often drier, like here. This is the area where we started our work. So then that hay, if it can be dried down, you have low moisture material, and if you condensely pack it, it can be transported efficiently to the towns where it can be sold. So this opened up for us in a way to start looking at some small-scale equipment. We started in 2011 with the scythe and a manually operated horizontal hay baler that I introduced there, give a training workshop and sourced material. We organized the youth in a hay baling team, learned about the hay market, and the youth developed their own marketing strategy where they are actually now a service provider. They provide services for farmers because they have this equipment and they go around and work for farmers in the Mount Kenya area. So they are collecting data that they report to me. This is from our scythe experiment. Here were two jobs. They mowed 1.8 hectares here in this in 15 days, including the baling. They made 360 bales. They got paid 95 cents for every bale that they made. That is how it works over there. The farmers paid them per bale. So that is very interesting because if they make more bales, they make more money. So they can, by working hard and paying attention to things, they can actually increase their income. They had some expense repairs, and they made on average $4.6 per person per day. That's how I compare the different jobs. And then they had another job near Ifu. That was one. These were two of their first jobs that they did. They also worked 15 days, but the grass was very poor, and there were lots of rocks in the fields, and they made many fewer bales. So in the end, they made only $2. So this was for them a lesson that they really have to monitor the field before they start accepting a job. Oh, so what we learned was that they could make a decent income. In comparison, a skilled carpenter could make perhaps this $5 per day. So it's a good income. They have to watch that grass stand. But one of the things that we really noticed was that they still spend a lot of their time mowing the grass with those scythes. So we wanted to look at some other equipment to speed up that mowing, because that's where the money is. So I got this grant from USDA, Foreign Agriculture Service. We were able to purchase some equipment, and this was the first piece of equipment that we tried out. It was a two-wheel tractor from China with a reaper. And I went with this because I could not find any mowing equipment for grass in Kenya that was small, like for these youth. You find big equipment, big tractors, big equipment from John Deere and things like that that you can get, but it's like unaffordable for them. So we went with this, but this machine had a lot of problems, and it was very heavy, the tractor. It was difficult for them to transport it because they have to rent somebody to transport it with a truck, and it costs a lot of money in transportation. The grass doesn't flow through the machine, and also it broke down a lot, and the cost was also a problem. So we started looking into other equipment, and now we had to get into importing it ourselves because that was not available anywhere. We went for this Chinese equipment. It is run on gasoline, and it has a 1 meter cutting blade, and it was a lot more affordable, $400, but now I found that in Kenya the cost balloon, and due to importation, most of these costs were all in Kenya, and in the end our machine cost $1,000. That is something that definitely needs to be addressed, because that is not a doable thing to have a machine that expensive, but I'm just totally not an importation person, so I didn't know how to exactly deal with that. We also found another hay baler design, actually work from Ethiopia, showed that this vertical baler could be as efficient as the horizontal baler, but much cheaper to produce. And also an added benefit was it was very easily transported. So our youth found quickly they could transport their mower on the back of the motorcycle and save a lot of money in transportation. And also this baler can be now also transported easily. So we have been, here are some results from the evaluations over the past. These are a summary of several jobs. They mowed here, this is our youth from Neri. They mowed 10 hectares in total, worked 45 days, made 1,200 bales with for 80 cents per bale, made $1,100. They had several expenses on transport, repairs, fuel, sisal, which is the string. And there were 2 to 4 youth in the team, so they made on average $6.7. So they made a little bit more than with the scythe. This is the team from near Nanyuki. They mowed 8 hectares in 15 days with the baling included. And now the baling is takes up perhaps 2/3 of their time. So they spend less time mowing. Made 1,200 bales, $840. They used a little bit different approach. They hired other youth to help them. They paid them $5 per day for each youth, so they had to hire labor. There were 2 guys in the team, and they made almost $10 per day. So this started to look pretty nice. So in summary, the Kenya dairy sector is experiencing very rapid growth, mostly in the peri-urban areas. Commercialization of hay is growing. Many farmers are planting hay fields that they are harvesting and then selling the hay because they can make money that way. And these youth can benefit from that by having a hay baling service. And the income potential was quite good. So that is the end of my presentation. And I don't know if I have any time left for questions.
You have 3 minutes.
Great. That's wonderful, because I'd like to have some input from the audience.
Did you have a payment to someone for the access to the land, or are you in competition with grazers? Or
The farmers own the land. If they have a hay field, they will fence it, because they don't want the grazer guys to go in there, eat their hay before they harvest it. So the farmers are in control of the land. No, the farmers hire them to make the bales, to mow the grass and to bale it. So they just pay them for every bale they make 80 cents, but each bale is worth about $3. So that's how the farmers justify being able to pay 80 cents per bale for the work. Yes.
So you're a soil fertility nutrient manager.
Yes, I am. Well, not
doing this kind of work. I noticed at the end, your last point there, lots of opportunities to improve hay production.
Yes.
Ah,
well, for example, as a soil management person, I am very concerned about the nutrient removal from the fields, and the farmers at the moment often don't fertilize the fields at all. So this is something definitely has to be addressed. And I also think there's very good opportunities for including hay into crop rotations with annual crops, because it is a great way to improve the soil, and I think there are many opportunities. Also, they have already done a lot of work on forage species. All these species are indigenous because this is savanna country. So it's a great opportunity also to evaluate different species. What I also notice is the farmers don't pay hardly any attention to the quality of the hay. That doesn't seem to register very much, and I think a lot of work needs to be done there, because we know how the harvesting time can really affect the quality of the hay. So there are so many opportunities to improve
it. Those all seem like low-hanging fruit. Is that working on that in a concerted way?
Don't think so. And I would welcome anybody who would like to collaborate with us on this. I also would really like some equipment people who would like to export their small-scale equipment to Kenya to come, because I see it, and not only Kenya, but Africa in general, because I don't know why we don't have more small-scale equipment in Africa. Thank you.